In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We are into models for ministry these days. Our culture has assigned the clergy to the category of helping professions. And pastors, after all, are flattered to be considered professionals, on par with medical doctors or maybe at least social workers. Hence, we have the model for ministry known as the pastor as therapist, or the pastor as counselor. What's really important here is not theology, but psychology and the development of interpersonal skills. The evangelical theologian David Wells of Gordon-Conwell Seminary argues that the older ideal of pastor as the broker of truth has given way to the newer ideal of the pastor as the friend of all. Then there is the model of ministry that suggests that the pastor is manager or marketer. The church doesn't so much need shepherds as it needs ranchers, according to one church growth guru. The pastor becomes the CEO or the public relations man for that local voluntary organization known as the church. And there are other models as well. The minister as facilitator, or the pastor as coach or enabler. And Wells is especially worried about those enabler types. He calls them the new disablers, for he fears that they disable the church from thinking and acting theologically in a culture that is fascinated with self-made spiritualities. This day in the church year gives us another model for ministry, and it is the model of St. Matthew, apostle and evangelist. This man, whose name means gift of Yahweh, is certainly that for the church. He is a gift from the Lord of the church, who gave his bride apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we do well on this day that bears his name to recall the words of the Augustana. It is also taught among us that saints should be kept in remembrance, so that our faith may be strengthened when we see what grace they received and how they were sustained in faith. Moreover, their good works are to be an example for us, each of us in his own calling. Now, Matthew was a strange candidate for apostleship. He was a tax collector. His fellow Israelites deemed him to be a traitor to the kingdom of heaven. As a tax collector, he was forbidden a seat in the synagogue. He could not present an offering in the temple. His ill-gotten money was tainted. And who would trust a tax collector to tell the truth? The testimony of a tax collector was unacceptable in Jewish courts of law. And yet the Lord, who came to call the righteous to repentance, in his mercy and grace calls Matthew. Matthew reports his own call to discipleship ever so starkly. He simply records, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. With messianic authority, the Son of God calls a tax collector away from his toll booth. And that word catches Matthew, and he follows his Savior. In first century Palestine, it was the custom that students would search for a rabbi to be their teacher. Students would have to convince the rabbi that they were diligent and pious enough to have the privilege of studying Torah under an esteemed teacher. Matthew doesn't seek out Jesus to be his rabbi. Our Lord, who came to seek and to save the lost, sought out Matthew. Matthew did not choose Jesus. Jesus chose Matthew. Matthew follows. Matthew, the tax collector, becomes Matthew, the disciple. In due time, the Lord who called him to faith would make of him Matthew, apostle and evangelist. What did Matthew do? The Lord made Matthew that scribe who is well trained in the kingdom of heaven, who would dispense both the new and the old from the treasure house of God's revelation. By God's grace, Matthew, the tax collector, was cast into the shape of that man called blessed in the first psalm, that man whose delight is in the Torah of the Lord, who meditates on that word day and night. Matthew did not make up the story as he went along. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Matthew, the tax collector, turned well-trained scribe, pens a gospel that shows us the Old Testament, fulfilled in the one who called him away from his textbooks to the book of life. Matthew points to Jesus, descended from Abraham and David, as the crown and the fulfillment of Israel's history. He is the one written about by the prophets. He is the virgin-born Son of God who came from the house and lineage of David to be the Savior of the world. He is the one who is greater than Moses and Solomon. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He is the Messiah who came to take on himself our infirmities and bear the burden of our sickness in his own body. He is the elder son who comes to God's vineyard in search of fruit, only to be killed by those who thought that they could commandeer the vineyard for themselves. He is that stone rejected by the architects and builders of Israel, yet made the cornerstone of the new Israel by his God and Father. He is the Lord, crucified and risen, who sends his apostles to the nations to make disciples by baptizing and teaching. In keeping with the purpose, pattern, and prediction of the Old Testament, Matthew records the words and works of our Lord Jesus. The New Testament does not negate the Old Testament, but fulfills it. Yes, Matthew, the tax collector, is now that scribe, well trained in the kingdom of heaven, to dispense treasures new and old. Faithful to the Scriptures and the Scriptures' Lord, Matthew's ministry is a model and pattern for us who have been called and ordained into this apostolic ministry. And it is a pattern for those of you who, by prayer and careful study, are preparing one day to be put into this office. Our fathers prayed that God would grant his church a pious and learned clergy. That is a good prayer for us on this day of St. Matthew, apostle and evangelist. We pray that God would make of us scribes well instructed in the kingdom of heaven, bringing forth things new and old from God's word. A few years ago, the theologian Robert Jensen wrote an essay for First Things entitled, How the World Lost Its Story. The article is really about how the church lost her story. And that's the real danger. It is our calling as pastors to keep that story straight in preaching and pastoral care, in liturgy and in catechesis. And this story is not the meta-narrative of postmodernism, but the real story, the true story of what God has done to redeem this world in the flesh and blood of his Son. It is what Martin Frontzman called garden variety history, real history that took place on a real Friday, on a real hill outside of Jerusalem. The story of Scripture is the only story that we have to tell. Matthew knew that, and he faithfully recorded that story in words given him by the Holy Spirit as a scribe well trained in the kingdom of heaven. God grant then that we, like Matthew, might be scribes instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven, householders dispensing from God's treasures things new and old. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.